Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Pastor asked me to talk a little bit about the cross. And as we were singing the song, we think of God, unchangeable, undescribable. What a great God that you and I serve. You know, the world is looking for things and they're following dead gods and they're all this stuff. I don't want to be associated with a deadbeat. I want to be associated with a God that's alive and vibrant and living in my soul. And if you have not yet found Jesus to be that way in your life, today is as good a day as any to find out who Jesus really is. I love Him. He is my purpose for living. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings You've given to us already today. And Lord, I ask for Your anointing on each listener. And I ask Your anointing upon myself that, Lord, I could communicate the great and wonderful love of our Savior, our Redeemer, our Healer. Have Your way in this service this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'd like to take you to a portion of Scripture quite familiar to most of you. It is in the Old Testament. The title of my message this morning is The Importance of the Cross. Easter has just come and gone, and so it's fresh in our mind. You've probably seen some programs on TV. Some of them are great. But here in Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm reading from the King James Version, I'm just an old-fashioned guy, so you may have to recalculate your calculators or whatever you are reading nowadays. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. Who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus, all right? And acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Then comes the real sad story. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on Him the iniquities of us all. The cross. First of all, as I talk about the cross today, I'd like to say that the cross, number one, is a symbol of the love of God for you and for me. It is a symbol of love. One thing about the cross, it is more than just an object of affection or of beauty. We see many crosses, and maybe some of you have a necklace and there's a beautiful golden cross on it. Or maybe it's silver, or maybe it's diamond studded so it glistens and looks pretty. There are crosses way up high on top of church steeples, and sometimes you see the reflection from the sun, and it may look great. But the cross of Jesus Christ was not a beautiful symbol. And I have nothing against people who have a cross and it's made of gold or silver, as long as we never forget the message of that cross. And when you have this symbol on your necklace or wherever, I sure hope that you're living an exemplary life of what the cross of Jesus Christ has done for you. It'd be tragic if we had that necklace around our neck and we resembled nothing like Jesus resembles. So then, if the cross is not necessarily something beautiful or a trinket, in chapter 53 that I just read, the cross of Jesus on which he died said he was despised and rejected of men. Now, it puts it in the past tense. He was despised and rejected of men. And most of us look at that and we say, yeah, that is true. Those wicked people that crucified Jesus on the cross, terrible people. And some people want to put it on nationalities. You know, the Jews did this. The Romans did this. Let me ask you a question. In verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men. Let me ask you a question today. Do you despise? Do you reject the Lord Jesus Christ in our present day, today? You say, well, I'd never do that. I'm just a nice person, nice all-around person. But you know something? If you are rejecting Christ and not serving him as your Lord and Savior, you're rejecting him. My question would be, why would anyone in their right mind want to reject a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ? Who in the right mind? My question then is also, are you in your right mind today? If Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, I hate to say this. You know, Pastor always says everything nice. I'm just one of these old farmers that, you know, when the bull comes charging, I can't say a lot of nice words. I just grab a 2x4 and I hit him. They kind of understand my language, so you'll have to kind of put up with me a little bit, because I'm not such a, you know, I can't say all these flowery things. But the Bible calls people who reject Christ by a much stronger name. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, if you're here this morning and you're an atheist, don't come back at me. Why don't you have a talk to God and tell him off? Get what I mean? And so the question is, if they rejected Jesus the day they nailed him on a cross, are you rejecting Jesus today by denying him access to your life? I hope not. I hope not. It also says in verse 3 there, we despised and we esteemed him not. We look at the cross then, especially the cross of Christ. It was a symbol of shame. A symbol of shame. The cross was for people who were murderers, for thieves. For the worst of society, they would be hung on a cross. Now then I ask the question, what was Jesus doing there? Was Jesus a murderer? No, he raised the dead. Isn't that amazing, God? He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He healed the brokenhearted. He had no business on that cross because of any guilt. But the business that took him to that cross was your sin and my sin. And he bore it for you and for me. The cross was a place of suffering. I do not believe that most of us know what suffering is. I was talking to a lady here a few weeks ago, and she had had some type of surgery, and she was told by the doctor to lay on in bed for, I don't know, a half hour, hour, whatever it was, still without moving. And she said that is the greatest torture that any person could ever experience. Well, I'm not sure that that is true. I know it's not comfortable. I can't sit still for very long. I'm one of these people that seems to have ants crawling in my pants all the time. I have a very hard time sitting still. It often drives my wife up a tree. So sitting still is hard, but it is certainly not compared to what Jesus Christ suffered for us. The Bible tells us in verse 4 and verse 5 that I just read, that he was stricken. When I think of that cross, Jesus was nailed there by his hands, by his feet. And I can't begin to imagine that pain. And to think of it, while all this was happening, he was doing it in love for you and for me. Think about that. There's a song we used to sing. Who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that he should say, not my will, but thine, Lord, be done? Think about that, young person, an adult, every age. That Jesus Christ thought enough of you, enough of me, that he would go to that cross, be nailed there, suffer for you and me. If there was ever love, that is love. If Jesus loved you and me that much, how much do I love my Savior? Young people, I like young people, worked with them all my life, and the greatest years of my life were spent teaching in the public school system. And I found many young people that were dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and served him with all their heart. Yet there were some that so easily would give up. Some of them would be made fun of because they prayed. Some were made fun of because they went to church. And they were ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that's not the case today. Peter, you heard of him. Big mouth. And yet, when it came right down to it all, he denied Jesus 3 times. Why did Peter do that? I don't know. But why do people today deny Jesus? Sometimes I think it's because they're ashamed. They don't want to be associated with a person who hung on the cross. So I don't know if Peter did it because he was ashamed of Christ. I don't know if Peter did it because he was afraid of persecution. When you go back to school, when you go back to your job, when you go back to your store, when you go back to your business, and you have that desire, that inkling to be ashamed of Jesus, I want you to ask the question, what did Jesus do for you? I get totally amazed, you know, at people who sometimes they run a business and they can no longer play, you know, everybody's got some kind of music in the background on a telephone or whatever. And it bothers me when Christian businessmen play junk on their telephone instead of something good. My question, is it because they're ashamed? You say, no, they don't do it because they may not get business. Well, is that true? Wouldn't they get all the Christians? Well, think about that. I do not believe that we should be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed to me when I was a fool walking in sin. And think about it. When you were foolish and living in sin, Jesus loved you and he kept drawing you. Oh, I remember how the Lord kept drawing me and drawing me and drawing me. I had a praying mother. I had a praying dad. I had a pastor who prayed. There were people who prayed. And you know, I couldn't have any fun sinning at all. I can't honestly say that I ever committed any sin that I had fun at. My mother had driven it into my mind so strong that if you sin, you're going to burn. That every time I did something wrong, I started burning. And you know something that was good for me? That was good for me. Because it made me think of what Jesus did. The cross was a place of suffering, and I suppose I better hurry up before they all faint. I told you guys, you said, John, but anyway, you didn't. That's good. You can be back there. Hopefully you say amen once in a while or do something good behind my back. When I think of the cross, it was a place of shame. But a cross on which Jesus died also was a bloody mess. A bloody mess. I believe that cross got bloody from where they had placed a crown of thorns on his head. Have you ever had a head wound? You ever get a cut in your head? You bleed like something. So I believe that from the top of the cross, you had the blood from his head. You had the blood from the spear in his side. You had the blood from his feet running down. It was a bloody mess for you and for me. I would like to know, if you're not serving God this morning, and I don't know if you're do or don't, all right? But if you're not, how are you going to give an account to God for rejecting Him? Think about that. All right. So there He is, hanging on the cross, shedding his blood. Why the blood? Well, if you ever read the Bible in the Old Testament, they had to do what? Sacrifice bulls, and goats, and sheep. And that was for a covering of sin. But Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died on that cross. And that blood did more than cover. That blood washes whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Because when that blood washes you, you are clean from the top of your mind to the bottom of your feet, and there's no more sin there. And the other thing is, it's gone to be remembered against us no more. And so this morning, let me say this. If you're a Christian, and maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and you're still walking around with guilt, if you really love Christ, and if you really believe Jesus Christ, if you really believe the Word of God, it is wrong for you to walk around in guilt. It is also wrong for you to continue to live in sin. We used to sing a song, "He set me free, He set me free." Are you free this morning? You know, there's nobody freer than a Christian. And I know your friends in school will tell you, you've got a crutch. Jesus is just a crutch. No, no, Jesus is not a crutch. He's the living way and the life and the hope for you and for me. That's what He is. Oh yes, the cross is not a good place. The Bible says basically in verse 5 that He went to that cross because of our transgressions. For our transgressions. Now then also, we go to verse 6. Why did Jesus shed His blood? Because that was the only payment for sin. Today, there is no other payment for sin. There is no Allah. There is no Muhammad. There is no Buddha. There is no Krishna. There's nobody on earth that can take your sin away except the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad. Think about this. I often sit and wonder. You know, when you take a guy like me and the way I grew up, I didn't grow up in a life of money. I grew up in poverty, and I grew up as a bashful kid. I was so bashful. I'll tell you how bashful I was. I was so bashful when I left home about age 18, and I worked for my brother in a while, and anyhow, at 18 I was so bashful. I had moved out of the town we were in. From the farm, I should give you a life story sometime, but we're out of time. But anyhow, moved off that farm and went to Racine, Wisconsin, and there was a wonderful pastor there, Brother Eitzen. Some of you may know the guy. Wonderful pastor. And I walked to church, and I always made sure that I was just a little late. You know why? I was afraid to have people say hi to me. Isn't that weird? I always left as fast as I could, as soon as the amen was said, so I'd be out the door so everybody could say goodbye to me. And all you girls that think you're old maids and you're 18 and you're not married, I was so bashful I couldn't say hi to a girl when I was 18. I couldn't say hi to a girl when I was 20. I was so bashful. But the thing is this, God took this bashful boy who was worthless. God drew this bashful boy, washed him in the blood, filled him with the Holy Ghost, and gave him a life of victory. You don't need money, you don't need prestige, all you need is Jesus in your heart. Oh, what a great God we serve. The payment for sin was the Lord Jesus Christ, and He died once for all. What are the benefits? What are the benefits of the cross? The benefit of the cross is that you and you and you and me, or is it I? Whatever it is, it is. Can have all of our sins washed away. How many? All of them. All of them. Now, if I were to ask you a question, and you'd be honest, but I won't ask, because you probably won't be honest anyway. If the question was, how many of you still haven't forgiven yourself for the sins that you committed? And you know something, Christian? I believe it is wrong for you, after you've been washed in the blood of Calvary, and you have confessed your sin and given your life to Christ, for you not to forgive yourself. Because if you do not forgive yourself, you will never pray right. You will never live right. You'll be of a defeated person, and God wants you to be a person living life to the fullest in victory. God doesn't necessarily need like deadbeats. Be alive in Jesus. And there's nothing better than living for Him. How great is our wonderful God. The nice thing about it is, it says all. All have sinned. So all of you, you know, there's always been this picture in my mind, and maybe I shouldn't say it. There's always been this picture in my mind that boys are kind of naturally bad. But girls are just naturally pretty and good. And even in my old age, I have a problem not thinking that way. So, whether you are a boy and just naturally born for trouble, or if you're a girl and you're just beautiful and just wonderful and just so good, Jesus said all have sinned and all need to come to the Savior. Maybe you're here today and you're no longer young. Maybe you're not even middle-aged, and maybe you feel, oh, I'm so dirty. I'm so dirty. There's no room at the cross for me. The devil wants you to think that. There's room at the cross. There's forgiveness at the cross. There's a new life at the cross. He can take the life of defeat and sin and turn it into a life of victory, explosive for Jesus Christ. There's a song we used to sing. It says something like this. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sin far away. Now that is scriptural. The Bible says that He forgives our sin and He doesn't hide it under your bed. He removes it as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? All you great scientists. You got a good scientist in here? Somebody? Nobody is a smart scientist in here. How many are dumb scientists? No. As far as the east is from the west, in other words, there's no end to it. It's forgiven. Now, friend, young person, do yourself a favor. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, if you're living for the Lord Jesus, remember He washed your sins away, never to be remembered. And if you have not accepted Jesus yet today, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. I want to take a minute here just for, you know, I grew up in church. And somehow salvation was always made so hard. Somehow I raise your hand, and I'd always raise my hand. I'd usually be the last one at the altar praying. You know what the problem was? I didn't realize something. That something is this. By faith are you saved, not by works of righteousness. Get that? By faith are you saved. If you young people are going to wait till you're going to do all good things and you're going to get saved, you're never going to get there, because all these old people that aren't serving the Lord aren't living good. If they're serving the Lord, their hearts are pure. That's different. But you see, we get saved not by works of righteousness, but we get saved when we confess and say, Lord Jesus, I realize that your blood is a cleansing agent and your blood can wash me. And Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. I accept you as my Savior. Forgive my sin. I receive forgiveness. Believe it and walk in faith. That's what it's all about. You know, I used to go to church, and I'd go to the altar and I'd pray, and I was always waiting for me to be, somehow all the lights are going to shine real bright. That's good for people that happens. It never did to me. But finally, at about age 16, one day I was laying in my bed upstairs, and I said, Lord, why can everybody get saved but I can't? Why are all these Christians in church but I can't be one? I didn't hear a big voice, but the Lord spoke to my mind and said something like this. When you confess your sin, I am faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's how it's done. You don't have to wait till you're good. You just come to Him like you are and say, Jesus, wash me, forgive me, make me a new person. You know what He'll do? He'll take a child of Satan. I know all you good people aren't no child of Satan. Yeah, I know that. But He'll take a child of Satan. He'll make a son of God out of him. He'll take a daughter of hell and make a child of God out of you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.